This afternoon, we thought of Mary speaking to the servants, whatever he may say to you, do. This wasn't the first time these words were uttered in Scripture. We find them in Genesis 41. In verse 55, Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph. What he says to you, that do. And I was thinking about that this afternoon, and also when we sang our hymn, when we sat there in silence, I was thinking of two instances in the book of Genesis that have been before me frequently in recent weeks, months, where we find a young couple. We find someone or two individuals getting married. And we sang of the God of love. And I would like to very briefly read through a few scriptures in Genesis 22 and 24 and a few passages from the life of Joseph. Starting in Genesis chapter 22, where we read that God says to Abraham, well, let's start reading from verse 1. Genesis 22, verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that God tried Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, Isaac. And get thee into the land of Moriah, and there offer him up for a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Verse 4. Now let's read verse 3 too. And Abram rose early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went to the place that God had told him of. And on the third day, there we have the third day again, Abram lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Verse 6, Abram took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke to Abram and his father and said, my father, and he said, here am I, my son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the sheep for a burnt offering? And Abram said, my son, God will provide himself with a sheep for a burnt offering. And they went both of them together. And they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abram built the altar there, and piled the wood, and he bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abram stretched out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. And chapter 24. Abram is old and advanced in age, and Jehovah had blessed Abram in all things. And Abram said to his servants, the eldest of his house, who ruled over all that he had, put thy hand, I pray thee, under thy thigh, and I will make thee swear by Jehovah, the God of heavens and the God of the earth, that thou take not a wife for my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I am dwelling, but thou shalt go to my land and to my kindred and take a wife for my son. Verse 6, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. Jehovah, the God of the heavens, who took me out of my father's house and took and out of the land of my nativity, and who has spoken to me and who has sworn to me and to thy seed will I give this land, he will send his angel before thee that thou mayest take a wife for my son thence. Verse 10, and the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. Now all the treasure of his master was under his hand, and he arose and went to Aram Naharaim, to the city of Nahor. And then we read about his prayer and the results, Rebecca watering the camels and the servants. And then verse 22, and it came to pass when the camels had drunk enough that a man took a gold ring of half a shekel weight and 2 bracelets for her hands, 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, "Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee." And then verse 50. And Laban and Bethuel answered and said, "The thing proceeds from Jehovah. We cannot speak to thee, bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go away, and let her be wife of thy master's son, as Jehovah has said." And it came to pass, when Abraham's servant heard their words, that he bowed down to the earth before Jehovah. And the servant brought forth silver articles, gold articles, clothing. And he gave them to Rebekah, and he gave to her brother and to her mother precious things. And then verse 61. And Rebekah arose and her maids, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went away. And Isaac had just returned from Beer Lahai Roi, for he was dwelling in the south country. And Isaac had gone out to meditate in the fields toward the beginning of evening. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes and saw Isaac. She sprang off the camel, and she had said to her servant, "Who is the man that is walking in the fields to meet us?" And the servant said, "That is my master." And she took the veil, covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. And Isaac led her into his mother's Sarah's tent. And he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And then chapter 37. Genesis 37, verse 2, in the middle of the verse, Joseph being 17 years old. Verse 3, Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons. And then at the end of verse 4, we read of the brothers, they hated him and could not greet him with friendliness. And I trust we're all familiar with Joseph's story. So I'll move on to chapter 41 for time's sake. Chapter 41, verse 37. After Joseph has explained the dreams to Pharaoh and then gave counsel to Pharaoh. Verse 37. And the word was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his bondmen. And Pharaoh said to his bondmen, "Shall we find one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to thee, there is none so discreet and wise as thou. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy commandment shall all my people regulate themselves. Only concerning the throne will I be greater than thou." Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, arrayed him in clothes of byssus, and put a gold chain on his neck. And he caused him to ride in the second chariot that he had. And they cried before him, "Bow the knee." And he set him over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh. And without thee shall no man lift up his hand or his foot in all the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah, and gave him his wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, the priest in On. And Joseph went out over the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from Pharaoh and passed through the whole land of Egypt. I think with the passages we have read, we could fill an entire conference, or two. And it's not my exercise to say much about all the verses we have read. But I just want to point out the parallels we find in the life of Isaac and in the life of Joseph. I think it was Andrew this afternoon who mentioned that The Jews did not understand that their Messiah had to go through sufferings before entering into his kingdom. And that is what we find with both Isaac and Joseph. In chapter 22, we find love mentioned the first time. We find there that God speaks to Abraham, "Take now thy son, thine only one, whom thou lovest." God is love, we've sang that. Here we find, in a picture, the love of God the Father to the Son. "Thine only, whom thou lovest." We've read something similar of Joseph, that Jacob loved him more than all his sons. In 1 Chronicles 5, we find that Joseph gets the right of the firstborn son, a double portion. That is why we have two tribes out of Joseph. He takes the preeminent place, both Joseph and Isaac. Chronologically, none of the two were the first son born, but they take the position of the firstborn, the only one whom thou lovest. So in chapter 22 of Genesis, we find love mentioned the first time. In chapter 24, we find love mentioned the second time. The first time it is between the father and the son. The second time, the end of verse of the chapter 24, Isaac took Rebekah and he loved her. There we find the love between Christ and the assembly. Second time love is mentioned. We had a marriage feast before us this afternoon. We've got two marriages here. In chapter 22 of Genesis, we find a picture, I think we're all familiar with that, of Christ being sacrificed. The two of them, I think we read it twice in the verses we read, going together. When we look at Isaac here, the one who is loved, we find him at least three times in this passage connected with the wood, the cross. God had to provide the lamb for a burnt offering. And very often we read on in the passage in chapter 22, and we see that there was a substitute for Isaac. But when we go to Hebrews 11, we see there that God regarded Isaac as being offered. Because in the picture, the writer of the Hebrews says, Abraham received him back from the dead. Isaac was sacrificed in Genesis 22, as far as God is concerned. Not literally, but in a picture, he had gone through death. The two of them going together. This afternoon, we looked at marriage, and it was mentioned that it was instituted by God, instituted before the fall. It's not good for a man to be alone. And reverently speaking, it was not enough for Christ to be alone. We read that Isaac was comforted when he received his wife. I'm sure that Joseph was comforted. He was called out of prison, out of a place where he did not belong. He had had 13 years of misery after he left his father's house. Was forced to leave. 13 years of misery, slavery and imprisonment. And then he is lifted up, called out of prison. And he's given a wife, and no doubt Joseph was comforted. We will come to that. But both Isaac and Joseph needed a wife. There will be that day where there is another marriage feast in heaven, the wedding of the Lamb, Christ and his bride. But that was only possible if he would go through death. We've been looking at that this afternoon. And that is what I just want to point out, that parallel, what we have with Isaac and with Joseph. I mean, there's many details. I'll leave that for you to look at, to study at. Isaac went through death. And then when he has gone through death, is raised, read, on the third day. Now, a couple of months ago, this was last year, when we were still living in Holland, we looked at the last chapter of Luke in our local Bible reading. And we read there that Christ was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And the question was asked, where is that? There is no direct indication that Christ was going to be raised on the third day. But Genesis 22 is one of those scriptures that indicates it. On the third day, Isaac came out of death, Hebrews 11. On the third day. And after he came out of death, Abram says it's not good for him to be alone. And he sends out this servant. It's often been suggested that this servant is Eliezer, but it doesn't say that. And it's often been said that the servant here is a picture of the Holy Spirit, and I think that is why the name is not mentioned. Because the Holy Spirit never draws the attention to himself. Lord Jesus would say of him, of the Holy Spirit, about 2,000 years later, that he would receive of mine and will announce it to you. And that is what we see this servant doing in chapter 24 of Genesis. We read that this servant was set over all that Abraham had. In verse 10, all the treasure of his master was under his hand. And we read at the beginning of the chapter that this servant regards Abraham, his master. And at the end of the chapter, we see that he speaks of Isaac as his master. When we look at the Holy Spirit, in the New Testament we see God the Father sent him, Lord Jesus sent him. And what did this servant do? He was looking for a wife. But what did he do in the process of doing so? He was telling about the riches of Abraham. He was telling about Abraham's glories, all that his master had. We haven't read all those verses. And we've been looking at that this afternoon. We said it's necessary for us to be occupied with the glories of Christ, the glories of the Father. And that is what the servant did in chapter 24. He's been speaking about that. He spoke about that, and he showed it to Rebecca at the well. Then he did the same thing in the house. And again, I'm not going into all the details. But when it comes to the point where they leave, it says there in one of the verses there that they left in the morning. And when the evening came, they were at their destination. No doubt that they rose up in the morning. That's in verse 54. And then in the evening, verse 63. No doubt that wasn't a one-day journey. I can't remember exactly whether it was 800 miles or 800 kilometers, but it took a few days. But when Rebecca came and saw this man in the distance, she did ask that question, who is the man that is walking in the fields to meet us? But I would suggest to you that she knew, because we read first that she sprang off the camel. She knew this is him. This is the man. And I would suggest to you that in that one day, in that journey, that servant had been speaking about his master. He had been speaking about those precious things he had been distributing earlier on in the house. Speaking about all the glories of Abraham and his son. And it made an impression upon Rebecca. Should make an impression on us when we're occupied with them, with him. And no doubt it made an impression upon us this afternoon. And then Rebecca becomes Isaac's wife. Isaac was comforted after the death of his mother. Love, the second time. Christ and the assembly. Now, when we move on to chapter 37, we find there something similar. We find there again, as I said, a son loved by his father, put in a high place, clothed with royalty, the colored robe, the vest of many colors. Now we looked at the Lord Jesus and said this afternoon that when we read in the Gospel of John that the Lord Jesus was rejected from the very start. First time we really read about Joseph's life here at the age of 17, his brothers hated him. They hated him yet the more. They envied him. Let us kill him. There are many more parallels between Joseph and the Lord Jesus. Leave that for you to discover. But we see here a clear picture of the Lord Jesus being rejected by his brothers. Joseph rejected by his brothers, the Lord Jesus rejected by the nation of Israel. And he goes through these 13 years of suffering, through suffering to glory. Joseph had his dreams. We haven't read all that. But I'm sure that those dreams, those two dreams, kept Joseph going. He knew what lay before him. In Hebrews 12, we read that because of the joy that was before him, he endured the cross. Joseph didn't know all that was coming, what would befall to him in those 13 years. He didn't know when things would end. He didn't know the gravity and the suffering of the suffering he had to endure. Christ knew all this. And yet, because of that joy that was before him, he endured the cross. Joseph, his dreams kept him going. He knew there will be a day. There will be a day when things will be different. And when he is called out of prison, in chapter 41, we see that day has come. Shall we find one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Something that was remarkable. Not just remarkable, something that was out of the ordinary in Old Testament times. We don't find anyone in whom the Spirit of God was indwelling. That is something for us. There's often been said that in our day, in the day of grace, there is a man in the glory and there is a divine person here on earth, which has never been the case before. But here is a man in whom the Spirit of God is. Pharaoh had to recognize that. He saw that this man was different. When we look at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, I think it's verse 35, we see that the Lord Jesus was born of the Holy Spirit. In the end of chapter 3, we see the Holy Spirit descending upon him when he is baptized, anointed. And then in chapter 4, we find him filled with the Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, he did things. We find that a few times mentioned in the first few verses of chapter 4. A man in whom the Spirit of God is. And Joseph is set over Pharaoh's house. Joseph is given rule over Egypt. And we know Egypt is a picture of the world. And he's given a wife. You know, Joseph's dreams kept him going. But he didn't know about his wife. There was no wife in his dreams. There was no assembly, no church, no bride in the Old Testament prophecies. And yet, all of a sudden, she was there. Much could be said about what Joseph receives from Pharaoh. But I just want to point out the fact that he receives a wife. And he's given a new name, Safnat Paaneah. Revealer of secrets and savior of the world. Now we read in Joshua, one of the last verses, that Joseph received the field of Shechem for his inheritance. And when we move to John 4, we find the Lord Jesus at a well in Sychar, which is Shechem. And there he speaks to this woman, we've been referring to her this afternoon. And this woman gets a very deep impression of the Lord Jesus. We've been mentioning the fact that he knew about the five husbands and the one that was with her now. And that was enough for her to say to the other people in the city, "This man has told me everything I ever did," the revealer of secrets. And then the people of the city go out to meet the Lord Jesus. And they say in the end, "Well, we first believed because of what you said to us. But now we believe because we have seen him, we've heard him. Truly, this man is the savior of the world, the true Safnat Paneah." He gave him a wife, Asnat. And Joseph went out over the land of Egypt. And I think the order here is significant. First, Joseph receives a wife, and then he is going out over the land of Egypt. Not much is said about Asnat, but I would suggest to you tonight that when Joseph went out over the land of Egypt, Asnat joined in his glory. You know, in the UK, there is a queen. Where I'm from, originally, we have a king. When he married his wife, and he became king, she became queen. Not because of who she was, or because of her birth, but because she was associated with the king. She became the queen. And the glory of the king was, as it were, transferred also to her. Because she was married with this particular man, she became queen. And had a position of royalty, which she did not have before. Here we find a lady, Asnat, and all of a sudden she is associated with Joseph, the governor, a ruler in Egypt. We are associated with the Lord Jesus. And one day we will appear with him when he takes up his reign, his rule over this earth. And when we look at chapter 24 of Genesis, I would suggest that that speaks to us in a picture of things that take place after the rapture, but hidden from the world. The servant was given the specific instruction that Isaac was not to be brought back to the land. That bride had to be taken out of the land. There will come a day where we will be taken out of this world to join Christ, to join our Lord Jesus, after which the marriage, the Lamb, will take place. But here, in chapter 41, we find glory manifested to all in Egypt. And I would suggest that a picture of that is what this is a picture of what we find when the Lord Jesus takes up his reign at the millennium. We will appear with him in glory. Joseph went out and passed through the whole land of Egypt. And Asnat was associated with him. We are associated now already with the Lord Jesus. I looked at Joseph. His dreams kept him going. You know, when this afternoon, I think it was Emil who mentioned that. No, it wasn't Emil. He continued on the thought. Someone mentioned that it is contagious to look at Christ, to be occupied with Christ. It'll keep us going in difficulties. It kept Joseph going, his dreams. It kept him going in very difficult circumstances. Things we probably never have to go through. It kept Joseph going. We have this beautiful future before us. But as we said, we have a present enjoyment of these things. We should be occupied with that. And I trust when we look at these pictures, either Isaac or Joseph, we can have some appreciation of it. Let us be occupied with the Lord Jesus. Let us be occupied with the fact that he loves us. That he loved us so much that he went into death. We see that. We saw that with both Isaac and Joseph. Through sufferings into glory. Let us be occupied with him in as long as we are here in this scene.